Back in April, Mark Mullinax, who's a professor at Mars Hill, I think, is that right? Excuse me. Gave a talk called Hope, Hype, or Practice. And he and I have been in conversation, and he sent me a copy of his words. And our reading this morning is from his, let's see. He says, by the time we get to the age we are, he made some assumptions, but looking around the room, it's not too bad. We've had numerous reasons to lose or reevaluate or dismiss hope. And even, he says, forget about it. Hope's not worth it. Been there, got let down. Why return to hope? But he says it is at the core of who we are already. It's the software we are born with. And to lose hope is to lose our humanity. To live out, and I would say to live out of hope, is an essential human task. How often do we, with television news on, consider ourselves to be at the end of things, end of a civilization, end of an era, darkness, gloom, global warming, ISIS, escalating terrorism? We want to transform this unknowability of the future into something certain and most certainly dreadful. Scenario after scenario playing reruns in our heads where there is no way forward. But then he goes on to talk about Martin Luther King, and he says, hope is the core of who we are. Quote, everything that gets done in the world is done by hope. Close quotes. Let's see what this risk, he calls it a risk, is all about. Because as Martin said, our lives begin to end the day we become silent about things that matter. Things that matter. First of all, hope means getting in the game, staying involved in life. There is no lottery ticket unless one rises from the easy chair to purchase one. Getting involved and staying in the game means living a life of noticing. Noticing this wild, precious, miraculous day. Turning off the news. Turning down the volume of the background white noise and noticing. Noticing the first butterfly or hummingbird of the season. Or I would say noticing a butterfly or a hummingbird in the day. That's got to be news, right? Noticing the spaces between the music notes instead of the notes themselves. Seeing the Jehovah Witness door knockers as the pioneers of First Amendment religious freedom that they are instead of the interruption everyone says they are. Get with it. Stay involved. Start buying those lottery tickets. Hope is a verb with its sleeves ever rolled up. He says one way to reimagine all this when he's talking about emergency is that the word emergency is the word emergence. What new thing is about to be born? Hafez, the Sufi poet, wrote, fear is the cheapest room in the house. I'd like to see you in better conditions. In the calculus of hope, see the emergence in emergency. Hope is a verb. With its sleeves ever rolled up. If you were to guess how long we were silent during our meditation time after the bell rang, how long would you guess? Did anybody say forever? That was 1 minute. That was 1 minute. I've had people come up to me and say, why do we waste our time on that? 1 minute. Just register that. I've talked about hope before as a central understanding and a personal practice. Not that I always get it right. I just keep reminding myself to return to the practice. And today is another one of those reminders. I began my write-up for today saying that my title is not a wish, but a statement of a way of understanding hope that is not nebulous, kind of out there, but one that is solid and works, one that does work. The accent is on works, as in hope that works. Hope that helps us live hopefully and that also does work in the process. If the title were a wish, it would sound like, I hope that works. Or, whoa, I hope that works. So today's focus is less on the that we hope for. It is less on the hope that reaches to some future where its hopefulness depends on getting there and the likelihood or prospect of getting there. If you just focus out there on that hope, what's in here? What's in the space between here and there? So we're not going to focus so much on the prospect of getting there. Today's focus is more on a working understanding of hope that we live, whether that works or not. It fills in the hope of our lives between here and the hopes out there. But by living hope that works, we also will be living toward the that we hope for. Whether we succeed or it arrives or not, that's not the critical question in this morning. We will live more hopeful, hope-full lives. And with practice, we will notice and make each day more hope-filled. And we will be more likely to act and sustain our actions then in the service of our larger aspirations and hopes, because we actually feel the goodness of our lives as we live and in the joy of life that we experience. Together, by doing this, we will actually be creating a more hopeful world. Key words are recognize, notice, and then value. By value, I mean don't discount the small or this notion by what it isn't. That's what we very quickly do by saying, oh, that doesn't do that. Yes, but. We're very quick to do that. Yes, but. Recognize, notice, and then give value. In June, before this year's General Assembly, we have ministry days where UU ministers from around the country gather. And there were about 1,000 UU ministers gathered. And the speaker was John Dorhauer. He's the president of the United Church of Christ. In his remarks, he spoke to the need of rethinking doing this thing we call church. He said that the tried modalities of transmitting knowledge won't work anymore, but we can't and shouldn't step away from what we are trying to do and be. That is, we shouldn't despair. We shouldn't give up hope. Our need for faith as meaning is not dead. We are spiritual beings who long to be connected to something beyond ourselves. Even as we do our personal improvement, our connections, our yoga on Sunday mornings, we want a larger sense of how that fits together. And then what he did, he went to emphasize hope. He said we want, I think I got it. He said we want and need hope, but we want hope that touches hearts. I see a glass of water. Thank you, Skip. Thanks, buddy. One day when Reverend Chris Bice, who in Knoxville, Tennessee, came over and there was a glass of water on the podium and he picked it up and he goes, is this contemporary water? So, he emphasized hope. He said we want and need hope. So here he is making his remarks and then he focuses in on hope. But we want hope that touches hearts. That's what we need to be doing in reimagining part of what we are as a group. For hope to be real, he said, must acknowledge what is causing us anxiety. Hope can feel like denial in the face of the anxiety caused by our ability to destroy life as we know it. He went on to say specifically that the church's current articulation of hope fails to take into account climate change. I was sitting there thinking, well, he's the United Church of Christ, and he's talking about the church. But it really speaks to all of us, in a sense. It fails to take into account climate change. If we can't articulate a hope that speaks to something like climate change, we should fold up. I starred my note that followed, and I underlined it. I said, be in touch with John D. about this. We do this here. We have hope that works. As I've said before, my divinity school thesis was inspired by work in conservation biology and my understanding of global warming and climate change, as well as my experiences with AIDS patients. Back when AIDS was a disease that was very directly terminal and killing off people in a short period of time. My experiences forced me to ask the question, what meaning does hope have if the future seems impossibly bleak and you don't believe in an intervening or a managing God? Yeah, let's do that in 20 minutes. And I came to understand that much of the way we frame hope is a hope that. Back to the title again, hope that. But with a hyphen, hope that the future will be different. We address our fears, then, with hope. Hope that somehow we will avoid them. Mark Mullinax began his talk in April by listing many of our fears. How often do we, with the television news on, consider ourselves to be at the end of things, end of civilization, end of an era, darkness, gloom, global warming, ISIS, escalating terrorism? How often do we end up with scenario after scenario playing reruns in our heads where there is no way forward? But nestled within our hope that requires these future scenarios not to end up happening, is a more fundamental hope, a hope in. It's not an opposition to our understanding of hope as a hope that, but it is part of a both and. You can think of it like this. There is joy to be noticed, goodness to be felt, life that's worth living and enjoyable, even if the future can't be changed or doesn't turn out to change. Another way to say it is there is joy to be noticed, goodness to be felt, and life that's worth living and enjoyable. That shouldn't be discounted or ignored or not noticed just because we're concerned about some future. Hope in is a fundamental hope that is not just dependent on outcome. It resides in the experience of daily living. Hope in resides in the force of life that is always trying to come through, like the green clover on picture on the front, that shoot on the front of today's order of service. It looks like it's coming out of a log. In the same way, joy, and the way I understand joy, and Donna's going to be talking about that more in a couple of weeks, in the same way, joy, the way I understand it, is the feeling of life's rightness or goodness that we experience, connect with. Same way, joy, the feeling of life's rightness or goodness, not so much thought as experienced in our being, is always trying to come through. The traumas and distractions, the busyness, the everything else, given half a chance. Mark Mullinax in our reading talks about something similar without naming it as a different understanding of hope when he talks about the importance of noticing. Quote, hope means getting in the game, staying involved in life. Getting involved and staying in the game means living a life of noticing this wild, precious, miraculous day, turning off the news, turning down the volume of the background white noise and noticing. The first butterfly, noticing the hummingbird of the season, noticing the space between the music notes instead of the notes with it, notes themselves. He goes on and says, get with it, stay involved. Hope is a verb with its sleeves ever rolled up. Value it. So what is hope? The dictionary says it is to hold a desire with expectation of fulfillment. That includes longing or yearning. But there's also an archaic aspect of the definition which focuses on trust. It's archaic only in the sense that we don't include an aspect of trust in thinking of hope much anymore. But trust is an underlying fundamental aspect of being and being alive. This notion of hope in involves a certain trust in life, not in the outcome, but in the way it works day to day and the possibility of experience. Hope, as we are talking about it, is more than a wish or a dream. There is an element of rightness, of goodness, of belonging that resides in true hopes. It includes the lure and direction of how life should move and be. So, how we hope will be profoundly affected by our religious orientation, by how we think things are. It's affected by how we trust the universe to be. Here at the Unitarian Universalist Fellowship of Hendersonville, we are oriented to an inclusive universe, inspired ways of right living that center around love and compassion, and engaging ourselves and making that inclusive vision real in our lives and in our world. When we say the arc of the moral universe is long, but it bends towards justice, what are we saying? We are forming a hope, an overarching one, really a form of orientation within which our hopes for right living and livelihood take form. Our universalist tradition orients to a loving God, an inclusive universe, an underlying or perhaps overarching love. We trust that life is not given form out of fear. Our first principle holds up the inherent worth and dignity of every person. Inherent worth and dignity. Fundamental trust and hope in being. One of the most popular readings for weddings comes from the Apostle Paul's letter to the Corinthians. 1 Corinthians chapter 13. We know it as a writing about love, but it also focuses on hope. Paul begins by listing a list of virtues and then asserting that all these things that we strive for and do and put value in are empty without love. He goes on to say that when we get down to the basics, that when life is pared down in a sense, what remains? Faith, hope, and love. These three. Meaning, possibility, and caring, all connected together. Faith, hope, and love remain, these three. But he says the greatest of these is love. Love never fails. The focus is on love, but he is also saying that underneath all that we see as important, there are these fundamental three. Love never fails. That is a hope. And there is a form of hope that resides and remains in that love. Whatever the future, doesn't say what the future is. Whatever the future. Whatever the layers of importance we put on top and hope that, there is always a fundamental sense going with us, a hope in. Hope in's relationship to the more familiar understanding of hope as hope that stands out in medical examples. What does hope mean when the diagnosis is terminal? If all hope were only hope that, a terminal diagnosis could only be seen as completely without hope. Life would be hopeless at that point. Where there is no hope, all that's left is what? Despair. Despair is the absence of hope. A minister friend told me about her father, who was a physician. She said, he gave up on caring when a patient was declared terminal. She said it was like a switch. That's giving up and walking away. While what? faith, hope, and love remain. Moments of joy and love and good life are still there trying to make themselves known. Special moments remain. The best way to think about it is there is healing to be found even if there is no cure. There is healing to be found even if there is no cure. Many of you have heard me tell the story of Francis Underhill. Near the end of his life, he had a rare blood disease for which there was no cure, and the treatments were awful. At one point, I asked him, I said, "Francis, you're here and you're in a place where I can ask you this question." I asked him if life was worth it. He said, "Yes, I can still smell bread baking." To which his wife, Savi, added, "And he has me to love and care for him every day." Love and hope in that works. It's not the situation you would want, creating ideal situations, but it's also saying there's something there to be lived. Love and hope in that works. Now let's shift, but it's not much of a shift to think about climate change as a diagnosis. Remember John Dorhauer's challenge to ministers and congregations. We now have solar panels on the roof of this sanctuary, transforming the energy of the sun into clean energy to run this building. Those panels are not our final action or answer, but they are a statement of and for hope. They are an example of our hope that, we can affect the future by what we do. They are also an example of how we live engaged and well and joyfully in the present, even as we are anxious about whether we are really making enough of a difference to turn global warming around. They are hope that works, residing in, whoa, hope that works. Hope in, while also being a part of hope that. It's important not to lose sight of this both and aspect of hope. In those moments when we make the discussion all about whether the panels will or how quickly they will pay for themselves or not, we risk moving only into hope that type of thinking. If we stay there and use that as our only reference, we will miss much of the hope and the power that we are actually generating. We will fail to notice and value hope in. That discount then means that we generate and experience less hope. We add to hopelessness rather than making hope more full and the world more hopeful. When I look at the building, I try to make a point of noticing. There's that word again. I try to make a point of noticing the panels, of pausing. We paused for how long in the meditation silence? 1 minute. Imagine pausing and noticing 3 seconds. Let me see where I lost my place then. Oh yeah, when I look at them, and I go through days where I'll go, I was first going, I wasn't looking at them, and now I've made it a practice. Every time I look at this building, I look at those panels. When I look at them, I make a point of noticing. They make me smile, but I also let myself smile without discounting them for what they might not be, without saying yes, but, and then going off with all the lines of what they aren't, why they aren't, and you get the picture. In that smile, though, is the joy of participating in right relationship and feeling a little bit of right livelihood. It is a moment of hope in and an experience of the hope that helps keep us going no matter the future. It is hope in, filling in and sustaining us between here and the there of our larger hope that, whatever the outlook and outcome. It is really a moment of allowing hope in to inspire us to keep working for our hope that. It is the hope that brings climate change to the scale of me. No need to close up shop here. We can't. We have a message that the world needs. Now we have to figure out how to get it out into the world. Late in July, Reverend Michael Carter and I were talking about anxiety, particularly the anxiety that people are feeling with the events in the news, and most especially the news and the tone of the presidential race. Our conversation came around to a discussion of hope and the hopes and fears we hear from members of our congregations. I had people greet me at the door today with fears and concerns around the presidential election. People are living scared. Scared that the candidate that isn't their choice will win. Scared of what will happen if that candidate does win. Hoping my candidate will win or that the other candidate will lose is what? Form of hope. It's a hope that. Putting it all there. Between now and November 8th, I watch the polls and listen to the news for signs of hope. Hope that my candidate is going to win. I live a little bit or more than a little bit scared and anxious because I think that everything, the fate of the world, my understanding of the universe, rests on the outcome. I live scared, vulnerable to a vision of despair or hopelessness day to day. If the election doesn't turn out the way I want it to. Personally, from the things I have said about my religion, you can guess my politics. I orient to an inclusive universe. I orient to a spirituality that calls for love and compassion that must do its best to make that inclusive vision real and also not give in to the exclusion and anger of fear. And so, I personally will vote against Mr. Trump. And I will do my part to affect the outcome. My hope that is that he loses. I know some of you may hope just as strongly for your own reasons that Hillary Clinton loses. But I will not put my hope in Mr. Trump's or Hillary Clinton's hands. If he wins, he will not destroy hope or my hopes. I will be shocked and saddened, but life will go on. I will step back, take a breath, just as I'm going to do today. And then begin again to act on what we can each affect. I'm going to turn off the television as many times as I can to keep from seeing, how is this going today? What's going wrong? You know, I'm going to try to go back to what Wendell Berry calls the scale of human competence. An aside here, which really applies. In driving to Florida this last trip, I heard on the radio a commentator was talking about, they were talking about whether you should vote on principle in the presidential election, and they were saying you should really work with, if you have strong feelings, different directions, with what is the lesser of two evils? If that's how you're thinking, you should really work with that, they said. But anyway, we won't go into that. But the point one of the speakers said was you should invest 5 minutes in your thinking about the presidential election and make a decision about how you're going to cast your vote. And then do what you can for that candidate. But then the point was, don't be distracted and pulled away all into that. Put your energy into the local elections. Put your energy into where you live. Put your energy into where things are changing and making a difference around you. I had somebody talk to me yesterday about put your energy into what happens in the school board. Put your energy in what happens into the House of Representatives in your state. And I thought, that's an interesting thought, and it brings it back, too, from my anxiety. I made that decision. I'm going to go with it. I'm going to do other things. So I will go on living hopefully, noticing and engaging in fundamental hope. I will be practicing hope, hope in, and hope that works. I will not stop doing my part to live in right relationship with life and each other and to help the arc of the universe bend towards love and justice. And as part of my practice, I'm going to do my best to notice and value the hope in and joy in daily life and in the meaning of my small, sustainable actions whatever the outcome. So now hear Emily Dickinson's poem on hope with its fundamental ever-present sense and music of hope. The poem says, "Hope is the thing with feathers that perches in the soul and sings the tune without the words, and never stops at all." Or as the choir sings it, I won't get this right, but the bass line stays on one note, and it goes, "Hope is the thing that perches in the soul and sings the tune that never stops at all. Hope is the thing that perches in the soul and sings the tune that never stops at all. Hope is the thing that perches in the soul." It's just right there in a tune without words. "Hope is the thing that perches in the soul and sings the tune that never stops at all." It's hope that works. Hope in that works. I can hear you discounting it as I'm saying this and about the size of the problems, and they don't change. But this is how we stay connected and hopeful and joyful, so that we can do the work to make the difference and to not be distracted by all the distractions around us, so that we can have a hope that we will make a difference and change the future. Hope is the thing that perches in the soul and sings the tune that never stops at all. Hope that works. Hope in that works. I hope this works for you.